do you have there, sir?" said Arnold sideways. "It does the art good to see the pencil waggling like that. I wish I had the knowing of it, but I've never been mechanical."
"Would you care for a cup of tea?" said the duckman. "You drink tea down here?"
"Of course, why not? What kind of people do you think we are?"
The duckman held up a blackened teapot and a rusty mug with an inviting smile. It was probably a good moment to be polite, thought William. Besides, the water would have been boiled, wouldn't it? "No milk, though," he said quickly. He could imagine what the milk would be like.
"Ah, I said you were a gentleman," said the duckman,
pouring a tarry brown liquid into the mug. "Milk in tea is an abomination." He picked up, with a dainty gesture, a plate and pair of tongs. "Slice of lemon," he added.
"Lemon? You have lemon? Oh, even Mr. Ron here would rather wash under his arms than have anything but lemon in his tea," said the duckman, plopping a slice into William's mug.
"And four sugars," said Arnold sideways.
William took a deep draught of the tea. It was thick and stewed, but it was also sweet and hot, and slightly lemony. All in all, he considered, it could have been much worse.
"Yes, we're very fortunate when it comes to slices of lemon," said the duckman, busily fussing over the tea things. "Why, it is indeed a bad day when we can't find two or three slices floating down the river."
William stared fixedly at the river wall. Spit or swallow, he thought, the eternal conundrum.
"Are you all right, Mr. DeWord?" "Mm-hmm. Too much sugar?" "Mm-hmm. Not too hot."
William gratefully sprayed the tea in the direction of the river.
"Ah," he said, "yes, too hot. That's what it was. Too hot. Lovely tea, but too hot. I'll just put the rest down here by my foot to cool down, shall I?"
He snatched up his pencil and pad.
"So, Waffles, which man was it that you bit on the leg?"
Waffles barked.
"He bit all of them," said the voice of Deep Bone. "When you're biting, why stop? Would you know them if you bit them again?" "He says he would. He says the big man tasted of, you know..."
Deep Bone paused.
"Like a what's name? Big, big bowl with hot water and soap in it. A bath?"
Waffles growled.
"That'd be the word," said Deep Bone. "And the other one smelled of cheap hair oil. And the one who looked like Lord Veterinari, he smelled of wine."
"Wine?"
"Yeah. Waffles also says he'd like to apologise for biting you just now, but he got carried away with the recollection. We, dogs, have very physical memories, if you see what I mean."
William nodded and rubbed his leg. The description of the invasion of the oblong office had been carried out in a succession of yelps, barks and growls, with Waffles running around in circles and snapping at his own tail until he bumped into William's ankle.
"And Ron's been carrying him around in his coat ever since?" "No one bothers foul old Ron," said Deep Bone.
"I believe you," said William. He nodded at Waffles.
"I want to get an iconograph of him," he said. "This is amazing stuff, but we must have a picture to prove that I've really talked to Waffles. Well, via an interpreter, obviously. I wouldn't want people to think this is one of the Inquirer's stupid talking dog stories."
There was some muttering among the crew. The request was not being favourably received.
"This is a select neighbourhood, you know," said the duckman. "We don't allow just anybody down here."
"But there's a path running right under the bridge," said William. "Anyone could walk right past."
"Well, yes," said Coffin Henry. "They could." He coughed and spat with great expertise into the fire. "Only they don't know more."
"Bagrit," explained foul old Ron. "Choking a tinker? Garn, I told him. Millennium and hand shrimp."
"Then you'd better come back to the office with me," said William. "After all, you've been carrying him around while you've been studying the papers, haven't you?"
"Too dangerous now," said Deep Bone.
"Would it be less dangerous for another $50, said William.
"Another $50, said Arnold sideways. "That'll make it $15.
$100, said William wearily. "You do realise, don't you, that this is in the public interest?" The crew craned their necks.
"Don't see anyone watching," said Coffin Henry.
William stepped forward, quite accidentally knocking over his tea.
"Come on, then," he said.
Mr. Tulip was beginning to worry now. This was unusual. In the area of worry, he had tended to be the cause rather than the recipient. But Mr. Pin was not acting